Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. Every week, County Connections here through Yaquinabay Communications. We appreciate this opportunity so much and to have great conversations like the one we're going to have this morning with Mark Farley. He's the lab manager and learning technologies developer for the Cyber Lab at Hatfield Marine Science Visitors Center. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Casey. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm excited. I've been doing the background research to prepare, and last I had seen you in kind of a formal setting was when you had presented to the Board of Commissioners, and you came in with a super slick PowerPoint with all these, you know, really gorgeous renderings. And can you maybe remind me, what were you presenting at that time?
That was a potential expansion for the visitor center over at Hatfield.
Okay.
So, you know, that place has been in operation since 68. We did a big renovation in 97. We get a lot of people through there. It's really a cool destination for Lincoln County and for Oregon State University.
Yeah.
So making it bigger, better, having more science exhibits, more hands-on, more interactives, more space kind of to do more would be really exciting.
Well, I remember thinking, man, who is this guy? He's really articulate and he speaks.
I think I had a suit on that day,
way,
too.
Yes. And so, and since then, you know, I've friended you on Facebook and just find you an interesting guy. Pleasure to have you
and
here.
And you're going to try and shy off those other three kids? Is that what I'm hearing?
Hey, I love it. You know, it's just, I think you communicate well. And,
No, thank you.
It's a pleasure to learn about what you're doing, whether it's your family and professionally. But maybe, Mark, tell us what, you know, let's just open with what is the Cyber Lab anyway?
Well, so the Cyber Lab was a project, a brainstorm that we came up with about 6 years ago. So learning sciences in informal science venues sounds super dull. Essentially, it is trying to figure out what works for families and learners inside zoos, aquariums, art museums, all those kind of what we call informal learning venues.
Yeah.
So learning research is how do we all take in information?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know a ton about it. You know, so we have formal education, everything we do in school, K through 12, undergrad, graduate. But that's a small part of your learning.
Mm-hmm.
A huge part of your learning takes place outside of those formal venues.
Of course, yeah.
And so you go in and you become a koi hobbyist, for instance. You accelerate your learning in a really unique way to pull in a lot of information. You connect with a lot of different things, books, internet, other enthusiasts, and you start organizing. You become an expert, and you've got this thing you care about, and it drives your learning.
Mm.
We know very little about that space, and so we've built the Cyber Lab to study people when they're there at the visitor center. And just how are they interacting with their kids? What are the family dynamics that either detract or enhance learning? What hands-ons actually work for people? Mm. What kind of learner are you? Do you like to read and report to your family and synthesize information that way? Or are you just like need to get in there and kind of bang on it and discover what the content is through that?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because remembering throughout at least my life, going to the Science Center, going to the Visitor Center is something that was kind of iconic for Newport. And but this idea that here's this opportunity to really draw data on your end, I'm arguably learning. But it seemed to me at some point, and I can't really track this, maybe you can help me, that the visitor center like jumped up a different level. Like I remember at one point, all of a sudden it seemed like the Exploratorium, for example.
Yeah.
Do you recall
that? So part
that
of that, that was part of that Cyber Lab project. We got money to not only do the studying, we got money to build some exhibits that enhance certain kinds of studying, like all those wave tanks that are in right now. That's all NSF money that was, we call it a research platform. And it allowed us to look at engineering learning inside a science center.
Yeah.
So building things with Legos, understanding wave physics, working with beach erosion, stuff like that. And then we have cameras trained on all that. And we have microphones in there. So wow. We watch how people too interact cool. with it. We listen to what people are saying. You know, we'll put a sign up and introduce a couple new words and then listen to see if people are using those words and are they using properly. And then as they continue their visit, like around the Ark into the back galleries, and they're looking at other exhibits that have to do with marine science, are they reusing the words? You know, so do they pick things up and do they carry it? And then do the kids reflect it back? Does everybody in the family understand the context of what those new words are? So sometimes it's just a complete fail. So we rip the sign down, we put up something new. And we figure out, you know, hey, here's a Lego challenge. And we change the challenge to see what attracts boys around challenges and what attracts girls. And then what attracts family groups to actually work together, because that's where a lot of great learning happens, is when you've got adult-child interactions. So so we've got this platform where we can just change it up, and then watch to see if it's working.
Yeah, interesting. Probably explains why on the several visits I've been as a chaperone with students, there's always somebody tinkering around and, you know, like in a plaid
changing
shirt,
it up. Yep.
You know, doing stuff.
Yep.
And so really, I mean, there's so much going on behind the scenes. So,
yeah, there
so
is.
So cool.
Yeah.
What does your team look like, Mark? Because you had said you kind of manage and help research scientists, you know, achieve their goals. So in a way, you're this manager.
Yeah, facilitator for the. So we have a lot of technology in there that a lot of social scientists have never worked with before. Mm-hmm. So we introduce them to that and train them on what they can get for data. Like we use a lot of cameras, like pretty sophisticated surveillance cameras. Now, we're not spying on you for, you know, criminal reasons. We're using security software to get research data.
Yeah.
And so things like a perimeter, you can set up a video perimeter. And then when somebody breaks the perimeter, I get a count.
Oh, cool.
And then I know how long you're there. And then I've got a face detection camera that finds you, Casey. It codes you as your demographic. So you're a male, mid-30s, whatever. So
amazing.
Then I know how long you're there. So then over time, I know what exhibits attract men in their mid-30s. And then which ones don't. Which ones attract 10-year-old girls? Which ones attract 60-year-old women? You start looking at that as indicators to build experiments around those spaces. So the researcher comes in. They're like, okay, I really am interested in this question. How can I answer it? And then we introduce them to the lab tools and the spaces and where the like good spots are to get those stimulus points, and then build an experiment for them. And then a lot of the times they'll spend a week with us, get familiar with the space and our visitors. Sometimes they do interviewee kind of things. Then they'll go back to wherever they live, which is all over the world, and they can access all that data remotely because all of it's online.
Wow.
Now, online, secure, but online.
Yeah.
And so we've got five or six experiments ongoing pretty much all the time.
Fantastic.
And they're just pulling it in via the database.
Love it. Love it. Mark Farley, Cyber Lab. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back and learn more from Mark in just a minute. Back with Lincoln County Connections, I'm Casey Miller with Mark Farley. He is the Cyber Lab Manager at Hatfield Marine Science Visitor Center. Mark, so I did want to touch on briefly, you know, your history, because when I looked at your bio, I see that that you had previously, prior to being with Sea Grant, been involved in interactive media. So what did your career look like before you came
this
here?
Is a crooked road that brought me here. It's a good road. But so before being with Sea Grant, I ran an interactive media development company for 15 years. And before that, advertising. And before that, PR. So something I was always interested in that private industry space is building tools that would let customers have a more unique experience.
Yes.
So essentially learning research.
Yes.
And, you know, we do focus groups when we deal with customers and try to figure out what makes them tick. I wanted the customer to always have control over the experience they were getting out of the tool. So even if I was going to sell them something, I'm going to sell them a Gore-Tex jacket.
Yeah.
Well, I want them to be able to get in there and really understand that jacket based on their own lifestyle, which meant customizing it and tuning it and understanding something about them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a great win for the customer. It's also a huge win for the company I was working with, because then they start to understand the nuances of that lifestyle that's buying that product. So it was a really cool win-win. it's complicated making those tools.
Yes.
You know, so there was that whole period in the 90s where corporate video games were really popular mm-hmm. for training. Mm-hmm. So we did a lot of healthcare stuff on, we did one video game around trying to train nurses to not fight fires in patient rooms in the hospital.
Fascinating.
And so we made a little video game about it. And, it's almost like Sims. The nurse walks in. There's a fire. And then she's got a number of things she needs to do. And the video game platform was perfect for that. Well, every learner that went through that, we watched their habits. And it would record what they did as part of that action. Even if they were doing silly stuff, because people have to burn off steam and do silly stuff. Mm-hmm. Even that became important data to understanding how to build better training programs for healthcare workers when it comes to fires, which I had no idea was a thing.
Yeah, well, we've come a long way, I think, from talking to a focus group,
right?
You know, and maybe the first version of media, now interactive. And could you talk about, you know, that interactive piece seems to me to be a defining characteristic here. I mean, with digital technology, it's sort of this back and forth system.
Yeah, well, if you're just reading something on a screen, you might as well reading something on a piece of paper. I don't know what's happening there for you. I don't know what's valuable, and I do want to know what's valuable so I can give you more of it. Mm. Like, I mean, just in customer creation and customer satisfaction stuff, you know, yeah, we're selling something, but we're also building a relationship with somebody. Mm. And if they get to interact, which is the two-way street, mm-hmm. so I can talk at you, when you get to talk back, now you may be saying something I don't want to hear, but I know what you're saying, mm-hmm. and we have that back and forth. That's why social media has become so key in advertising now. And it's funny, social media has become really key in research also.
Yeah.
So having that two-way conversation, interactive, really gives us a lot of information about kind of building better materials and better experiences for people.
It's fascinating. As far as your undergraduate studies?
Yeah, fine art.
Did that? Well, okay, but that I can see how that eventually points the direction where you went. You know,
yeah, graphic design, mm-hmm. illustration, and then client management, and then selling the work.
Yeah.
And then understanding what clients actually want. I mean, boy, they don't teach you that in school at all. And I was good at it and really got inside people's heads and really understood their businesses. I loved all of the different businesses I worked with because I got to just be nosy and get in there. And it's like, how does this work?
Sure.
What rings your bell? You know, and that was always fun.
Yeah.
And then trying to craft them something that would really just slam it home.
And now you get to take that history and bring it to this sphere.
Yeah.
Must be fun.
It's fun. It's also super rewarding not to have to sell something.
Yeah.
Like, I get to give away everything I make because it's all, most of it's federally funded. Mm-hmm. And when it's federally funded, it belongs to everybody.
Nice.
And I love when somebody comes in and they're from another science center and they kind of look longingly at something we have and they're like, oh, I wished we had that. I'm like, you can. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. That open system is nice. I feel you because in the private industry, sometimes we're just very centric about, you know, the advances we can make for that super
profit.
So that's wonderful. Mark Farley, we're talking CyberLab. We'll be back to put a wrap on it after this last break on Connections. Back on Lincoln County Connections, Mark Farley, CyberLab manager at the Hatfield Marine Science Center Visitors Center. Mark, you did touch on a point of this, you know, more of this open system, the federal funding. Let's talk about that for a second. Yeah, where do the dollars come in that allow you to do this great work?
Well, so several federal sources. So NOAA is one of them. NOAA gives us a lot of money to kind of do science education. They call it informal science education. So things that happen outside of a formal school setting. NSF, National Science Foundation, funds a lot of this research and a lot of the kind of exhibits and kind of cool stuff you see at museums all over the world. So because we're a university, we get the money in to do the research, and then we come up with results like, hey, what are best practices around wave tanks and STEM learning? Mm. And then we kick that out to every other science center in the world trying to deal with that so that they can pick up from a good spot and move forward and kind of advance the work. We find out, we were talking earlier, failure can be interesting. So we'll try something, it really doesn't work. We let everybody know it didn't work so that they're not wasting public money figuring out the same thing again.
Yeah.
And it's nice because I feel like we're stewards of kind of the public good. We're advancing things forward.
Yeah.
It means I got to write a lot of papers and get it out there quickly, along with all my colleagues. And so that's how all those zoos and science centers and art museums, a lot of that's federal money. And a lot of that is education for the public.
Yeah. Well, the gain seems to be that you're refining the opportunity that we have to learn, which is great because the more we can maximize learning and give people more out of that experience, they walk away hopefully with more retention or an open mind.
Well, and you've seen all the criticism around America, around its math scores and its ability to understand science, and that other countries are kind of kicking our butts on that front. National Science Foundation puts money into things like this to bring that bar up. And there's a lot of ways to do that. It's not just sitting in a classroom. You know, like I said, if you get interested in koi, well, suddenly you're interested in water chemistry, and suddenly you're interested in like doing math that you probably aren't super familiar with, but you learn it because you love that animal and you want to have a successful experience at your home or your hobby.
Yeah.
So it drives, all this drives people in different kinds of ways that are more organic.
Yeah. And it seems like, in general, the general wisdom about, really maximizing our learning, potential is more common. It seems like, let me state it a different way. We have more to gain from making sure people get the most out of these things.
Yeah. And sometimes that's not a big dollar to do that. You know.
Well, and also here, something that just occurred to me as we were talking too is really CyberLab facilitates, a lot of people coming in from around the world to our community.
Yeah, we've had a lot of really cool folks in here from all over the world using this facility to advance science learning.
Yeah, and so those individuals might stay here for a period of time, for example, a lot of the researchers over at Hatfield stay for a while.
We put them up at local hotels, VRBOs. Nice. We rent cars for them. They eat here every day. They fall in love with the community. They are marvel at, one guy was hilarious. He was an anthropologist. He called it resource extraction. Uh-huh. He loved the resource extraction activities. And we're like, you mean like crabbing and clamming and fishing? He's like, oh, yeah. That's what you call it. Yeah.
Right. Well, Mark, as the year unfolds, are there any particular projects that are interesting maybe to tell us about?
Well, right now we're cranking up. I don't know if you've heard about the new regional class research vessels that OSU is making. Mm-mm. It's a fleet of new research vessels that will be out doing ocean research. We just got some funding to do a whole lot of exhibit work on that.
Nice.
So we'll have a bunch of new, cool content over there in the next year.
And will that show us what it's like to be on a vessel?
Yes, it will. In fact, we are trying to put you in the driver's seat and really make that immersive and exciting. And so stay tuned.
Yeah, I imagine it. I feel a little bit like I'm walking into a Mythbusters set or something like that when I come over there. But, I mean, you have to bring in a lot of materials, unique technology, and things like that. Where do you source this stuff?
Oh, my God, all over. It's very creative because you don't go to the, wave tank store.
Yeah,
you don't
right.
go to the ship simulator store.
Right.
And so you make up a lot of it. So I work with a lot of people locally who are really clever. Halco Welding has done a ton of work for us, and we bring them all kinds of weird things to do.
Yeah, the fabricating.
We have local carpenters who work with us to do kind of, I need to create a ship's bridge. And he's like, well okay.
Right.
What is it? Give me a photo and let's work on it. Computer programmers, which I have all over the U.S. Lot of talent on campus over in Corvallis. But, model builders, like the old dude at Trump's Hobbies in Corvallis, can he paint up a guy that looks just like Bruce Mate? Yeah. Give me a photo of Bruce Mate.
Cool Well, I love it, Mark. So where and when can we experience the Cyber Lab?
Well, you go in. It's just at the visitor center. If you take a look around, you'll notice lots of exhibits. You'll also notice some cameras on the wall. You also notice some notifications letting you know what your rights are as a research participant.
Okay.
And so, you come over and participate in research with us by just doing your thing.
And the visitor center general hours?
Let's see, we're on winter hours now, so Tuesday through Monday, 10 to 4.
Okay.
And right now it's a little quiet over there, so if you really want to just spend time, you don't have to compete. And we're going to go through a big renovation coming up in November, so there's some there'll be some minor shutdowns, but we'll have the place mostly open.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Keep us posted. I know I Googled HMSC Cyber Lab,
right,
and that brought us right to the things that you do. So pleasure having you on today.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening. And we'll see you same time, same place next week on Lincoln County Connections.